I'm going to read to you from my latest novel, The Saints of Swallow Hill. I'm going to start in the first chapter with Delwood Reese, towards the end of that chapter, and then I'm going to read a little bit of the beginning of Raylan Cobb's chapter, because the story is told from two different perspectives, and Del is one of my main characters, and Raylan is the other. The second day went like the first. Del inside loosening the grain before helping Woot and Hickey shovel for all they were worth, eager to be done. A second forgiveness for another wrongdoing. Mo hung around watching, smoking one of his fat cigars. Third day, Del climbed the ladder and stared inside like he'd done with the other two, gauging the depth. This bin had more in it, about 3/4 full. Last one, he said out loud to nobody. Mo stalked to the base of the ladder and prodded him with a command. Quit wasting time. Del entered the bin and began like usual, chipping away at moldy, compacted corn until Mo shouted, open the door. Let's get this show on the road. And Del froze, mouth open. Hickey's voice raised in protest. It ain't safe with him in there, is it? Alarmed, Del went to high-stepping it back to the inside ladder quick as he could. His sudden movements caused him to sink, and he fell, becoming more rattled when he couldn't get up right away. He scrambled to his feet somehow and began promising himself when he got to the ladder and got out of the bin, he'd tell Mo he'd do anything but this, and if Mo didn't like it, he'd quit. He'd find work, and if he didn't, he'd live off the land. He'd done it before, 10 more steps. And without any warning, what he feared happened. The corn suddenly collapsed around him, and he slid toward the center of the bin where he was quickly buried to his thighs. His legs felt as if they were encased in cement. He couldn't move them one bit, and he fell forward, grabbing at the grain, which did nothing but cause more to cascade down around him. He straightened up, and it was to his waist. He yelled as loud as he could, "Shut the door! Shut the damn door!" He stared up at the hole he'd climbed through. Empty. He coughed and wheezed and choked on the dust created by the moving grain. He yelled, "Help!" as Mo yelled, "Shovel!" He sank to his chest, his arms resting on top, futilely clawing at the kernels. It was like treading water. All he was doing was moving them around. The pressure and his descent increased with every exhalation. The corn acted like a vice, clamping down, squeezing tighter for every tiny move he made. The air gave off a distinct musty odor, and the scent made him sick. The corn was restless, relentless, like some freakish living mass that continued to build around him. It had happened so fast. If he became completely buried, how long would it take a 6-foot, 2-inch man to suffocate? And now I'm going to read you a little bit from Raylan's chapter. Raylan Cobb couldn't help but notice the first digit missing on the pointer finger of her right hand. She studied it as she waited for Billy Doyle to push a blue whistler filled with pine gum up the crudely made ramp and into the wagon. Warren, her husband of 7 years, stood in the back urging him to go slow and easy. At 25, Raylan was sure she had more scars and marks on her body than someone who lived to 100. At least Warren was decent and kind, if a bit clumsy and careless. At least he'd seen fit to keep a business going, while others struggled during these hard economic times. When Billy showed up, Raylan figured the Doyles must be pretty bad off. It was April 1932, 3 years since the stock market crash, 3 years of nothing but bad news in the papers, yet they'd been able to make a bit of money selling pine gum. So what if she got hurt now and again? It wasn't like he did them things on purpose, not like when she'd been at the Magnolia Orphanage, where those in charge had a propensity for pinching the soft flesh of upper arms, leaving grape-sized bruises if they detected any sassiness. and they'd all had their share of exhausting heat or knee-knocking cold while toiling in the basement laundry under the strict guidance of Mrs. Rankin. She would have the girls scrubbing, rinsing, wringing, and hanging everything from sheets to towels to tablecloths, not to mention every single person's clothing who lived there, because as Mrs. Rankin often said, hard work builds character. No, being with Warren was heaven compared to that.